Welcome to Four Calling Birds, honest conversations that give us all a voice.
Welcome to episode 6 of Four Calling Birds. May I introduce Meredith Heppner-Chapman, PR guru, and my long-suffering wife.
Literally, pinching his willy.
Stephen Carter-Bailey, our resident agony uncle and Great British Bake Off queen, and my personal favourite.
Beautiful to look at, and he's very loose with where he puts his crotch.
Natalie Spence, singer and actress.
I'm really late and I need to pee.
Hayley Clapham, voiceover artist and lover of spreadsheets.
I used to love Spudgy-like.
And me, producer Jeremy, let loose with a microphone this week to do the intro. A rare treat. I won't waffle on for too much longer, I'll just let the birds carry on. But we've got a wonderful episode for you this week. The birds will be chatting about who we've had on the podcast already, who we've got coming onto the podcast. And I'm going to be setting them some questions as well, which I'm sure will be bringing much hilarity. So kick back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Right, kids, let's reflect on the last five, well, actually six episodes, or seven, if you include the teaser.
Yeah.
We've had our teaser. We've had the education episode. We've had Joe Ashman. We've had Joanne Warren. We've
Gorgeous.
Had the transformation episode. The
Where
bake-along.
We discovered people couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, you. The bake-along where we discovered Stephen has got the patience of a saint.
And I have no hand-eye coordination.
And we found Hayley's weak spot. Organised recipes.
No spreadsheets involved.
No.
And all, and obviously our last episode, Sarah and her adoption story, which was amazing.
A corker. The messages we've had.
I know.
About that. And I mean, Hayley and I do the social media. It's been goosebump inducing.
Yeah. It has been goosebump inducing. But there's been messages about all of them. There were a few messages as well about the one that Natalie did, the transformation episode. And lots of people saying that they got so much from it. Just maybe learning about a bit more about meditation, or just reminding them of something that they might have done in the past that they want to pick back up again, and just finding it really inspiring. So I think that was a great episode as well.
That I learned a lot as well, to be honest, because it was so nice to reflect on that and talk to Sophie and Bella about the transformation process and how I've transformed over the last sort of few months and how I still need to, you know, it is a process. So I've realized, I knew it before, but I've realized again that I do need to keep going on these things, keep meditating every day. And it opened my eyes to how other people see these kind of things, and how, like Meredith, for example, you find it difficult to breathe. And like, I can,
well,
it's
yeah,
and completely relatable, I'm sure, for many people.
Well, I think what's so nice about our podcast, I think our listeners realise now, we have the interview and then we have the chat, and we all hear the interview with the listeners and then we chat about it. Yes. So I take a lot from our episodes as well. And the whole breathing thing really was something I did start investigating, because I know how many there are so many different techniques, but I know how much you get from it. The better, the more you can breathe. And I had a panic attack yesterday, and I just think, right, I need to find something that's going to engage me. And I was talking to my son about it. He apparently is a big follower of someone called Wim Hof.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Well.
Is that the ice bath?
Yes.
Guy, yeah.
Well, I know, I heard about plunging.
Oh, Iceman Hof. I know,
yes.
Iceman.
Well, oh, right. I follow him. Yeah. Right. Well, I didn't know. It's the first tutorial I've followed, which worked. And I felt like
amazing.
I was in a... Amazing. You know, you were saying earlier about always seeking a higher level or a buzz, or that kind of that real, that just something... It's the most bizarre thing ever. You're in a sort of, it's not like auto asphyxiation.
Oh, God.
Strapped to the door handle.
I was going to say, you actually brought tears to my eyes then, and then you mentioned that.
Well, I'm going to send you all the link.
But my son was with me when I had a panic attack yesterday. So he was really aware of like how I was just like not breathing. And he said, Hugo said, just play this and do it. He's really insistent. Do it. You've got to do it. And so today I had the house alone and he went, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Just try and do it. It's 10 minutes. And already I was thinking, oh, 10 minutes. There's so much more I could be doing with my time. It was brilliant. I'll send you the link. You can get an app, but there are just videos on YouTube. So you don't have to pay anything or subscribe to anything. And I might put it in show notes, but it literally, he just says, it's guided meditation, which is what you guys were talking about last week, which mm-hmm. I cringed at. But it's amazing. It's because he just sort of, you do it and then you're just like really buzzing and you're almost like your whole body's full of oxygen and you're holding your breath. It's quite trippy. And no, I can see why people are into it.
I'm really pleased for you because maybe if we didn't talk about that, you wouldn't have, you would have, you know, shunted it to the side and sort of not tried it. But I'm
I would have poo-pooed Hugo telling me about this man in an ice bucket.
Amazing. Did you try an ice bath?
Do you know, I can't. I know how good it is for you. And I've got lots of friends who do cold water swimming. And it's almost becoming the new veganism, isn't it? Like everyone's now into it.
If my hot water starts going in the shower, I panic and get out.
Yeah, yeah. Can't do
it. I tried 30 days of cold showers once.
What?
It was amazing. It was during the summer, so it was a lot easier. But
Absolutely not.
It was so good.
What were the benefits? Circulation, blood oxygen.
Save on hot water.
Do you sleep better?
Yeah.
I'm not doing it unless you sleep better.
Oh. Get your Shakti mat.
No, I yes. did do those.
Yeah, they
like
are. Oh,
that,
well, they are brilliant.
Oh, you've got one, haven't you, Hayley? You told me about it.
I love... Well, I know that you and Jeremy have got one as well, Mez. I love my Shakti mat. I love
it. I should say a thank you to Shakti. They very kindly gifted me one. So thank you, Shakti, for that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
A little influencer, you.
I know.
So other episodes, what did we enjoy?
I think for me, I was very touched by Sarah's story. But more so than I ever thought I would be. I didn't know that I would be. I don't know. It just. I was absolutely enthralled by the idea of this sort of journey she went on, and then I know it was a happy ending for her, which is wonderful. And I know that's not always the case, but it wasn't that. It was just so bizarre. I think it's because it's not something that everybody experiences in their life, and it's quite rare to even know somebody who's adopted. Actually talking about it now, we've all discovered people that we've known for a long time who are adopted, but it was just the way I think it was put together and the emotion attached to it for you as well, especially. And I couldn't relate to being adopted, but I could relate to having missing family members that I then found, and it was so lovely to hear. It really, I think about it regularly, and I think about the positivity, and I hope that we are now sort of moving into, I don't know, just a society where there isn't as much shame as there was when she was born, you know, or presumed shame, should we say, and you know. People are adopting children nowadays or putting children up for adoption for the right reasons, not because they were told to or for religious reasons.
It's much more openly discussed.
It's great now. And but for me, it was just so lovely to hear that against all odds. And, you know, there were occasions where she, you know, she just missed the letter or nearly missed the letter, things like that. I just thought she's still, I'm not a spiritual person or a religious person, but I like to think fate plays a part in somewhere along the line.
Serendipity as well.
It definitely felt like that, didn't it? That the universe was helping just to bring them together.
When she just went back for that last bit of post and there was that one letter.
Oh. And just the little quirks, like the hand cream. Yeah. But I think that what made that episode so enthralling is also Sarah and Sue and their personalities, and the way Sarah told the story was so entertaining. And we've received messages from both of them, and they were so happy with how so Hayley, really credit to you actually, that they were both so honored and so delighted and felt really it evoked some really beautiful memories for them,
and it was so raw. From Sarah's side, it It's like retelling the story for the first time almost.
Yeah, and Hayley really blubbing all the way through it and what have you know, not helping. But your friendship's so beautiful. And actually, when you meet Sarah, she's just brilliant anyway. You know who Sarah reminds Sarah. Me of? No, do you know who I think Sarah reminds me of a little bit? I always think Paloma Faith.
Is that the way, how she looks?
I think so, a little bit. But her personality is almost a bit Jennifer Saunders, I think. She's very funny.
Oh, yeah. She's very, very sharp. Funny. And she's very
like,
bright,
she's so funny. And she's quite, because you did drama with each other. So she's quite slapstick, isn't she? She can be really... We had
she's
some giggles.
Slapstick.
So I'm thinking back to hilarity. Anyway,
sorry. I think Sarah's.
I feel like
Sarah...
I've missed something there.
Well, I can't remember any particular moments. I really can't. There's no in joke.
Okay.
It's just the 90s were a blur, but I just remember Hayley's mates.
That was definitely one of my favourites. I mean, I've loved them all. I loved the education one with Andy and Amelia, which was our first proper episode. I also loved doing the teaser because I just laughed myself silly the whole way through.
It was so fun.
Andy and Amelia was just so insightful. It was really interesting. And I said it at the time, to get his viewpoint and Amelia's viewpoint, because you live in a little echo chamber, don't you? And you're at the school gates and you're talking to other parents and that's it. So it was really nice getting Andy's point of view on what it was like being a teacher, being a head teacher through it all, through the whole pandemic. And Joe Ashman was amazing. He was wonderful. He was
so open
and lovely. Such a darling.
There's nothing that gets him down. He was just so positive considering
he's got to go
done
on
nothing
Strictly.
Hashtag Joe Ashman for Strictly. We've got to remember to keep that trending. Natalie, you're a bit of an influencer. You can sort that one out.
All over it. And I
love
Joanne
Warren.
Joanne Warren.
Beautiful story.
I think that
beautiful.
Was such an important message that she, an important story that she had to tell. And she's doing brilliant things. And I know she's going to go on to do lots of amazing things.
Is she doing another one? Or what did I see on her socials the other day? Do check out her socials because the photos on there are brilliant. And her self-portrait is so good.
Oh my God, it's sensational.
Like, it's so good. I mean, I love seeing photographers' self-portraits and how they picture themselves. And it's just really powerful, Jo's.
So striking,
So she is Joanne Warren Moore, all one word. And she's on Instagram. And she is talking about, I think she's got a new... She said she was doing, looking at how children are affected. I think she was looking at...
Oh, yes. So she was going to talk to activist mother.
That was it. Activist mothers, because I was all excited about that.
Sort of correlation between activism
parenthood
and motherhood.
That's it. You see? I was paying attention, guys. Just couldn't remember for shit.
I have to say, I received my sweatshirt from the Four Calling Birds store very recently, and I haven't taken it off. I am in love with this. It's
super
so comfortable.
And
my
t-shirt
as
well.
Now.
I'm wearing mine now.
I love it so much.
I've actually got my t-shirt on and my sweatshirt on over it.
I'm going to say one thing about them, and obviously designs aside, because they are fantastic designs, but the way that the underarms are designed, they're so freeing.
Yeah, you don't get smelly.
You don't get smelly. But I
will
say this.
No, you don't get sweaty pits, do you?
No, it's lovely. but I will say this. Meredith and I went to our local supermarket the other week, and I had got it on and inadvertently not put my jacket over the top. And I love it because obviously we live in a very small town. The first thing that happened was we were walking from the car to the store and this chap pulled up next to me and went, nice shirt. And I thought, oh, hello, who are you? And I looked down and it just says in big capitals, don't be a dick. And I then pranced around to Tesco
Forgetting he had it on.
And watching the looks of horror streaking across the faces of our local elderly people. For calling
Hayley, do we have some questions?
We do have some questions. Jeremy, the producer, has very kindly given us all questions to answer, a little bit like we did in our teaser episode. So if you listen to our teaser episode, you know what's about to happen. So buckle up. Stephen, what's your question?
So my question is from Jeremy. What are some of the fun and interesting alternatives to war that countries could use to settle differences? Now, originally I thought, well, let's be really clever about this. Then I thought, no, because I'm not clever. I think, I mean, my mum would just sort of lock us in the smallest bedroom and say, you need to sort this out, the two of you, you're not coming out until you sorted it, resolved it, which could work if two countries' leaders, you know, got together. But the idea of Trump and Kim Jong-un in a small room together is worrying enough as it is. But I do genuinely believe, you know, that in relaxing and listening and trying to obtain the other, you know, trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes or trying to listen to the other person, we lack listening. So I would suggest that we all go out for a drink together. Like the opposing war, the opposing countries or opposing people who are planning war need to go out and get drunk together.
And then go to karaoke box.
Yeah, and smoke a joint. Or just chill out. Chill the fuck out and relax together and listen hard to the other person's issue. And it's only when your mind is truly relaxed and your inhibitions are lowered that you do then start to, you know, take on, you're a little bit more emotionally connected. You're a little bit more understanding. I know that when I'm sober, I can be really unreasonable and irrational. When I've had a drink, I think, oh, I love you guys so
really
much.
You see, I find it the other way. If I've had a drink, I'm really fighty and aggressive. But this is my theory. My theory on cannabis and why it's so ridiculous. So I always go off on the one about this. But the fact is that alcohol is legal. Cannabis isn't. But actually, no one's ever had a fight stoned. You couldn't. Like, you just chill. You learn to just, oh, it's all right, man. It's
and okay, I do dude. Pick fights with her when she's stoned just to see her. do whatever relaxes you. But for me, I think the obvious solution to two people at war or two people fighting is to, you know, lay your cards out on the table, have a drink and thrash it out and talk. Or lock them in the box room together until they're
handcuffed together.
Well, what was it? You know, we all had the Get Along T-shirt. Or the get along step.
Bearing was that we Mormon camp?
Yeah, we grew up Mormon, so you know everybody got on with everybody. There was never.
You
a fight.
Grew up Mormon?
Yes, it's the most amazing story.
Stephen, I did not know this.
I was Mormon for many
years. Stephen had to go to Mormon camp.
Hello, my name is Elder Carter Bailey.
Turn it off like a light switch. Just go. It's a real little Mormon trick. Yeah, we used to do that. And in fact, I'm not going to deviate too much, but I was taught.
Sorry, I'm thinking
in
about
Sunday school. Honestly, this is true. This was actually around grief. It wasn't about being gay, but I think it applies to everything. I remember the Sunday school teacher talking to a little girl who's, I don't know, guinea pig had died or something. And she's like, oh, I just can't stop thinking about it. I'm really sad. And she went, well, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, teaches us to let go of these feelings. Just turn them off.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. I loved it so much. I
mean, and pull your 90 down when the man's done.
Yes. I mean, apart from the fact that they used to check the length of girls' skirts and, you know, that nobody had any rights.
We will serve. We will serve.
We had to give 10% of our... I mean, I used to get £1 a week pocket money and 10% of that used to go to the church. Honestly, I used to have 10p to the church every week. So it's any wonder...
Did you have to pay for Mormon camp?
Yes, yeah.
I was giggling throughout the story, not that the child had lost their guinea pig, but this, all the stories that you've ever told me about Mormon camp are probably unrepeatable on here.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know. I think religion is a subject that, Meredith, you are going to have to stand aside on the religion podcast, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry.
It is a whole episode all on its own, I think.
It's literally a season, Hayley. Mormon camp alone is an episode.
Okay, so that's season two coming up covered.
Mormons.
Mormons.
Hayley, what was your question from Jeremy?
So, actually, I did have an answer to your question, actually. I think they could have a good old game of pie face.
I love pie face. Oh, yeah. I love pie face.
They'll all just laugh about it. They get a little bit of cream to snack on and everyone's friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember playing pie face with my mum and videoing it in slow-mo. And then overlaying the song "O Fortuna" to the sound of it as a sound bed to the pie face slowly smacking her in the face. It was honestly, it's the best fun ever.
I just wish you guys luck if I'm on my period, because it won't be fun.
There's always one in the family that really takes it personally. That's yeah. what makes it funnier, I'm afraid.
Natalie.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm perimenopausal, darling. Period's got nothing on me. Right, my question from Jeremy is, what is something that is really popular now, but in 5 years' time would be something we look back on and be embarrassed by?
Being really open on podcasts.
Podcasts.
Podcasts. Maybe face masks, I hope.
I think the question is, think back 5 years to what we used to do 5 years ago and imagine that.
Yeah. True.
Well, no, because I'm a hoarder, so everything comes around again and I always regret throwing shit away, which is why I don't anymore. Like Pokemon cards.
I did have this conversation with Meredith the other week and I said, when they die, just know that I'm going to go full Gilbert Grape on them and just burn them alive in their house. I'm not sorting through any of this crap. None of it.
I've made it, like, my friends and I, when we used to go on planes and stuff, we used to say, right, if anything happens to me, right, because this is once we had kids, there's a box under the bed, fucking burn it. Do not let the kids.
Yeah, but now it's like, if anything happens to me, you need to delete my browser history on
now
my phone.
Is, yeah, just smash my phone up and
just hold the phone
couch.
Against my dead face for the recognition, then just delete everything. Just a hard reset on it.
Natalie, what was your question from Jeremy?
My question from Jeremy is, what's the most ridiculous fact you know? Do you know what? I'm really bad with... my brain just holds nothing. Oh. So I did have to have a little Google of this.
Did you Google most irrelevant fact?
Most ridiculous fact. Some of them are just not ridiculous. If you keep your goldfish in a dark room, its colour will fade.
I can give you one. I love an irrelevant fact and a statistic. 90 people are kicked to death by donkeys every year.
90?
Yeah, but it's the wrong people. I could pick a couple that I'd like.
That was the last
not
time
89
I checked.
Or 91, just well, 90.
Well, that was the last time I checked the statistic. That was my...
It might have gone up.
That was my chat-up line back in the day. did you know?
Oh, brilliant. Stephen, have you got any ridiculous facts?
Has he got
any ridiculous facts? They talk about Mormons, but interestingly, Mormons are the second largest landowners in the United States, the Mormon Church. And the first largest is McDonald's.
Look at that. I've got a ridiculous fact for you.
Go on.
The British invented the first adhesive postage stamp. It's quite boring, isn't it?
Meredith, what's your fact? God, sorry.
Oh, no, Natalie's got a fact.
I do have a fact. This one is actually quite interesting. It's not that ridiculous, but the lighter was invented before the matchstick. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, and also they put a man on the moon before they put wheels on a suitcase.
What?
Yeah. It's just because men were the only inventors, and men wouldn't think of shit like that. The minute they let women get involved with inventing stuff, we came up with shit like wheels on suitcase. Although you're going to tell me it was a man that invented wheels on suitcase,
but because his wife told him to.
Yes.
No, they were a Greek couple, and the wife told the man and made him think it was his idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where the whole Greeks invented the wheel came from.
Meredith, what was your question from Jeremy?
Right, well, this is really unfair because he knows the subjects I have least interest in and did least well at school.
Has he done a number on you?
I think he knows me.
Sci-fi. And he said, you're a mad scientist. What scientific experiment would you run if money and ethics weren't an issue? Well, I could be really boring and say, well, I just absolutely want to use cannabis for everything because it is fucking brilliant for everything, and they're trying to stop it being legalised and endorsed for everything, because it will pretty much obliterate all these horrible opioids and addictive shit that everyone has to take, and anti-inflammatories. So that's a whole big pharma war. But I would love to, you know, have a proper lab where I could show how, you know, cannabis can be used in everything from skincare to concentration to sleep to helping epilepsy, to fueling, to actually the hemp can be used for fashion. I would love to show how one plant, which has been kept from us, which is like a crime against humanity in my mind, at this one magical plant that was, if anyone believes in God, this is what God created. It is there to help us. You know, natives have used it for years and years and years, and there's so much more out there. I think there's like in Brazil is what's the stuff that makes you really go mental, but it's got such important qualities. We'll have to come back to that. But also, I think science has to be quite self-serving, and I know a lot of mad scientists do stuff in their garage, like just to help themselves, like something like to remind them when the toaster's popped up and stuff like that. It would be brilliant if my dogs could go to one area to poo, and then for some way that poo could be turned into like efficient energy, or and actually could fuel my home, because I swear to God they shit enough to fuel my home. So wouldn't that be brilliant if your dogs could go to a particular part of your garden which had like a filtration system, or just like, obviously you couldn't just have a hole that a dog would drop into. You'd have to sort of think this out carefully, ethics being quite a big deal here. And it would find a way of fueling the streets, or, yeah, dog poo is such a problem, isn't it?
Do you remember in the Good Life, Tom and Barbara had the effluent digester?
What was that?
Do you remember
that manure?
Yeah, they turned manure into methane gas, and then...
Yeah, well, that's the problem, because it's the problem is the methane. So it would be, being a scientist, that would be a massive part of the, the investigation, is to make the methane safe. Because that, if we watch Cowspiracy, it's not so much the eating of meat, it's the having all these cows, you know, and that
farting
produce all this methane gas. Yeah, yeah. So
that's actually a really good suggestion.
Turning shit into energy.
Yeah,
you sound surprised at that, Hayley, that she came up with a good idea.
Yeah, I knew you'd all know I'd go off on one about legalising cannabis, which is such a thing for me, as I'm such a campaigner for it. Because I've seen the benefits, and I've seen children on trials then being taken off it, and it's so sad. And if there's a sponsor out there, anyone that wants to, you know, invest in some cannabis research, I'm all for that. But in the interim, please can we do something with dog poo that saves me money?
It says you're picking it up. Yeah. What would yours be, Hayley?
I would like something like a Mary Poppins, a robot or something. That scene in Mary Poppins where she goes into their bedroom at the beginning and clicks her fingers and all the drawers go in and out and everything gets put away.
Could you live with a robot? Could you? It would kill you in your sleep.
At least when
they take over, the machines take over.
No, I could. If it meant...
Could you?
Actually, yeah, do my laundry. Freaking laundry.
Would it look like a human robot, like a blow-up doll type robot, or would it be like R2-D2? I could cope if it was like R2-D2.
Give a shit what it looked like, as long as it did the work.
Yeah.
Really?
I wouldn't care if it's doing my husband, as long as it's just got its job done first.
Frightened of dolls. It would have to be really carefully designed. But the thought
of
a living
doll.
Crushes.
Oh, yeah, you've got those creepy dolls. I used to collect them as well, but I don't think I have them.
I love a creepy doll. I don't care what it is, as long, even if it was invisible, I don't care.
That's even more terrifying.
Yeah, that's
the one that
crazy.
Just appeared in front of you. God, you're weird.
Just invisible. So you just see a pile of laundry going past you. Oh my God.
No, that's amazing. Like magic.
Yeah, but you dress like that sometimes, yes. Meredith, where you look like a pile of laundry just wandering past.
What's that sack of shit?
Oh, it's Meredith.
Hugo's doing the garden now. It's Meredith's latest look.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I do sort of jump on Meredith, not literally, because that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm quite quick to. I would be fascinated to know what decides whether somebody is gay or not.
I think that would be scary because you might get weirdos that did it to
No,
that
but then I want to know, but then I wouldn't tell anyone.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell anyone.
Imagine what, like a blood test?
Yeah.
Well, or even sort of in vitro. I think it's fascinating because, well, being a gay, I always sort of wonder, oh, was it hereditary or did my mum drop me one too many times? Because she has admitted she dropped me. Not once, not twice, but thrice.
On the head. Just anywhere.
I'm not entirely sure it mattered after the second time. What about you, Natalie?
Oh, I don't know.
Someone to find you a flat.
Like, yeah. That. Or just someone to like just be my brain. That would be great.
I'd like a sort of PA, but that's then a human. That's employment, not an invention.
Okay, maybe something to do with drinks. Alcohol.
Something alcoholic, yeah.
Can we just have a little chat about what's coming up? Because I interviewed Toby Anstis last week.
Amazing.
You did?
Toby Anstis from The Broom Cupboard. And
off of the 90s.
Off of the 90s. Yeah, friend of Gary Barlow's, you know, just... He was so fascinating. We ended up chatting for nearly 2 hours. He was adopted too.
Yeah, and that's another story coming out.
Yeah, so we're actually going to, I think, being able to turn it into two episodes. So we won't talk about Toby's adoption, I don't think, next week, are we? We're going to keep that one because obviously we've just spoken about Sarah's. So we're going to talk about Toby's career in the 90s. And actually, the fact that what I loved about him is he genuinely doesn't think he's famous or any right to be a celebrity. And every day he still pinches himself and gets really excited about meeting celebrities and going to work on the radio. And that, you will love this interview because he's just the most effervescent ball of positivity. And he's had a bit of crap in the papers and he just... Honestly, resilient. He's like, you know how Stephen goes on at me and I have to just let it bounce off? That's Toby Anstis, that is. That's what I call it. I'm Anstising.
I'm looking forward to that one. And we've got lots of other good stuff coming up as well.
So
as Toby,
much we've got.
We?
God, mental health. We've got a brain tumour survivor who was also a journalist. Mental health ambassadors, eating disorders. I think we're
so much coming up.
At.
Cannot wait.
Some great stuff to come then.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to our middle episode, episode 6. We are halfway through season 1. Lots more ahead, as you've heard. And until next week, au revoir.
Au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Wiedersehen. Juice. Ciao.
Ciao.
For calling birds.
Do your chicken. Don't be a dick. Go on, peacock. One more.
Thank you very much for listening to Four Calling Birds. Don't forget that you can follow us on Instagram at @4callingbirds_podcast. That's the number 4callingbirds_podcast. You can tweet us at @birds_calling or find us on Facebook. And hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode.